Ready for another quality podcast?
Okay, here we go.
All thanks to Endeavour Homes, builders of quality. And for premium inclusions you can afford, search the Foundation Series by Endeavour Homes.
This is the Pete and Kimber podcast.
Pete and Kimber's best call wins.
The best, the best, the best.
What did you find washed up on the beach?
No.
Best call wins.
No. Are you joking?
No, I'm being serious.
No, you're not.
Yes, I do. I've got me shovel and everything.
We're not doing that.
Why? Well, I am doing it.
You can't.
I can. We don't know anything about this human skull that's washed up on the beach.
Exactly.
You can't be too insensitive.
Well, it is insensitive. A human skull was found on the beach, just sort of coming out of the sand in WA.
Not by itself. Like, it's not weird supernatural stuff. It was just there half in the sand.
But we don't know its origins. Like, it's been sent away to be looked at, right?
Yeah,
like to kind of work out how old it is.
A forensic anthropologist has been asked to give their opinion in relation to the age of the skull.
Isn't it a bit morbid and a bit crass?
Well, I don't know. Well, washed up on the beach. There's a mild, very mild conspiracy theorist in the back of my head that says it could be fake. Because you look at the photo, even the blurred out photos, there's nothing on it. There's no barnacles. There's no, like, moss or something growing on it. Like, it could be fake.
But it's been washing through the ocean maybe for a while. So it's, like, just perfectly eroded. And does everything in the ocean that stays there long enough get barnacles?
Without knowing too much about the subject, I'm going to say yes.
Okay, because is it weird to Google, do barnacles stick to human skull?
Nah, go for it. I reckon we've Googled much worse in this studio.
But honestly, you can't even do this. What's going to wash up on a beach? Other than that one listener who once told us that she was on holiday in Thailand with her dad and they found a foot.
Yeah, and that was back in a time where we didn't do a lot of, like, phone call topics like this.
I just don't really want to hear about appendages.
What?
Turning up on the beach.
I kind of do it.
What else is possibly going to wash up on a beach? Just like, I don't know, a shopping trolley wheel and some, you know, Band-Aids.
No. If you call it and go shopping trolley wheel and some Band-Aids, you're going to get the shovel, right?
Shells.
All right, give us some. No, you're going to get the shovel if you give us shells.
Sea anemone.
It's a sea anemone. You're going to get the shovel. Okay.
But you think there's more interesting thing washed?
Sure. And you know what?
Like that's a message in a bottle. Has anyone ever received one of those?
Yeah, but it's got to be a good message. Like, don't call up and just say it was just some nice little poem or something like that. I want a good, proper message.
Some nice poem?
Yeah.
You just want someone who's stranded on a desert island and can't escape.
That would be fantastic. All right, Kelly, what do you got for us? Best call wins. What did you find washed up on the beach?
I was in Mexico and it was a wrapped in plastic, 1 kilo block of hashish.
Whoa.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Now, when we were talking earlier about the person who found the skull, and I said to Pete, would you pick it up? Is that the kind of thing you'd pick up, Kelly?
Yes.
And do we need to know anything else, Kelly? Or did you call the authorities?
Did it go back to your hotel room?
Yeah. So I'm in a hotel. I was actually working there. And gave it to the general manager because previously there was a big issue in the local area where drugs were involved and they got 10 years in prison. So,
whoa.
And we all knew about it. It was a big deterrent for the staff. So yeah. We just said, okay, that's. And then I gave it to the general manager of the resort and there was a huge party the next day.
And the evidence went missing. Vanessa in One and Up. What washed up on the beach?
So this is about 25 years ago. We had hangovers in the morning at Cottesloe Beach and I found a Christmas tree decoration of...
Did you shovel her before? What did you say? Christmas tree decoration?
Yeah, now look...
That was as far as we got. She didn't even get to describe what it was.
The beginning of the story was promising. You know, like a big night. Let's go out.
What if
the beach.
It was like baby Jesus?
I don't know. Baby cheeses.
There's lots of baby cheeses.
What's that?
Christmas decorations. Forget it.
Jason in Naranda, what washed up on the beach, mate?
So I lost my sunglasses at City Beach, which were dear to me because they were hard sunglasses to find.
Uh-huh.
And just under about 4 months later, I found them at Madam's Pool.
You went back to Madam's pool and your glasses washed up.
So I lost them at City Beach.
Yeah.
And found them at Madam's pool.
Were there any barnacles on them?
No, but because they were prescription, the lenses were rubbish, but the frames were still good.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, I mean, it's quite a surprising story, isn't it?
Yeah, it's surprising. It wasn't quite shovel-worthy, but I tell you what, I had the shovel in my hands.
Mm.
I did.
Okay, maybe Kristen can help us out. Kristen in Darling Downs, what washed up on the beach?
Hey, guys. I have also actually found a human skull.
Whoa, Kristen.
What beach were you at?
Yeah, so I was in Adelaide, and this was on the York Peninsula. I don't know if you know, but Minleton.
Right. And so what were the circumstances? Was it floating in the water?
No, no. So it had washed up on the beach. It was kind of around a bush. So it was covered. You couldn't really see it. We were just mucking around in the sand.
Yeah.
And anyway, we took it to the police station and they said it was a very old Aboriginal skull.
Wow.
Did you pick it up, Kristen? Or did you just look at it?
We picked it up and took it to the police station.
See, this is the bit that sounds strange to me. Obviously, that is an older skeleton or older skull.
Yeah.
But, like, the idea of picking something up like that, doesn't that sound like you're somehow involved?
Involved how, though? It's just a skull on a beach.
I know, but, like, I don't know. I don't know. Have I seen too many American crime shows where it's like, don't touch anything? Don't put your DNA on that?
You know what?
Don't rub your face in it.
Kelly's block of hashish. I'd be harder pressed to pick that up than I would the skull.
I get why.
Right, on a scale of 1 to skull.
On a scale of 1 to 10.
On a scale of 1 to hashish. Kylie and Ballajura, good morning. What'd you find washed up on the beach?
Now, good morning. I found a pair of lacy knickers and an implement for doing taxes.
Pete and Kimber's Blackout Challenge.
The blackout challenges. Now, these happen to us. They're basically going to happen over the entire year. Our producers put blindfolds on us, noise-cancelling headphones. They take us to a location, and when you remove the blindfold, you and I are just forced to deal with whatever circumstances we've been left with.
Mm.
Now, Pete, I'm going to say one of my favourite qualities about you is your enthusiasm.
Oh, thanks, Kimber. Appreciate that.
Like, you will throw yourself into anything. If we make a suggestion, you are the yes man. You will go, yes, and you will do it with fervour.
Big shoulders, guys. Big shoulders.
Sometimes afterwards you're like, I regret agreeing to this.
Oh, most times I regret agreeing to it.
But I love that you always go in bold. And so this blackout challenge, we were like, let's give Pete something that I think he's just going to excel in. He's just going to see this and he's going to run with it.
And I had thought often, like honestly, I've given this one thought where I've seen it on the telly and I've gone, I could do that. I reckon I could do that. And I've often thought to myself, I'd do that, not a problem. It's just reading numbers off a screen, isn't it?
Absolutely. And so we thought, let's set you up. So we took you to the Channel 7 studios and we had Sam Jolly there. And she was going to immediately throw to you and you were going to remove your blindfold. And there you are, the Channel 7 weatherman, Pete Corralli.
It's been another sunny day in Perth. For the latest forecast, let's bring in Mix 94.5's Pete Corralli. Pete, just how hot did it get today?
Those lights are really bright. So it got to, geez, you know what? It was a hot one for this time of year. It got to 30.3 at 1:40 p.m. today. But the minimum today was 15.4, which is around about half what the maximum is, but it was 0.1, just more of that half of what the maximum actually was. And that happened about 39 minutes ago. Sort of. What time is it? Anyway, how are you? Hi, how are you going? Hey, there's a camera guy over there. Hey, buddy, what's your name? Am I meant to... Do I press the thing? Okay. As you can see, we're over the top of Perth at the moment. Scarborough hit 31. And in Northern, where it should be a lot hotter than what it is in Scarborough, it's actually 29, which is crazy. I think it's the El Nino effect. I'm getting the wind-up from the producers. And that's a really beautiful shot of the freeway. And as you can see, we're now doing traffic. Is there a backwards on this? Is there a backwards clicker on this? No? Okay. And main weather, Perth. Perth weather with Samantha Jolly. Hey, there we go. Thank you. Thanks.
That was a comprehensive wrap of the weather.
No, it wasn't. That was an absolute disaster. I was so lost.
I thought you were just going to excel. I was like, this is going to be, he's going to see the bright lights and he's going to go, game on, Moles. And I thought you were really going to bring it. And you choked.
I don't know how to like explain. First off, when you hear the beginning of the audio, I'm like, ah, it's because I was blindfolded for half an hour being driven around Perth. Mm-hmm. You take the blindfold off. And the lights are so bright. So I had to adjust. So everything was fuzzy.
The bright lights of showbiz throwing you off your game.
Stop it. And then everything clears up and there's Sam and there's the, you know, and you start to sort of figure it out. And then they just hand you a clicker. And then, like, I'm looking at the screen. I'm like, there's so many numbers. There's so many numbers up there. And that wasn't even half of what it was that ended up going to air.
We're well aware that wasn't even half of the weather. You didn't get anything in there.
That was hard. That was very hard to listen to.
We didn't hear anything at all.
I'm going to be honest. That was very hard to listen to.
Like, oh, you think it's hard to listen to? You should watch it.
I don't want to watch it.
No, definitely do watch it. It's on our Mix 94.5 Facebook page. You should check that out for sure. Because the video is excellent. You're just looking around as if the answers are going to come to you, as if the skill set's just suddenly going to drop in from nowhere.
That's how she makes it look. It turns out she's been doing it for 30-odd years.
Thank you, Sam Jolly, for tolerating Pete.
Thank you to 7 News and Samantha Jolly for allowing us on the set, even though it'll never happen again. And yeah, as Kimber said, you can see the video on socials.
Now, Pete, if you were to label us as unprofessional, or if you think our boss were to label us as unprofessional, and this is hypothetical, of course.
This isn't stuff we've actually done.
No. Okay. What sort of things do you think our boss could accuse us of?
Being late.
Yep.
Talking loudly on the phone in an open plan office.
Oh, yeah. I would say swearing.
Leaving skid marks on the toilet bowl. Organising a mutiny.
That is definitely unprofessional.
That'd be unprofessional.
There's a series of things that you could be accused of, clearly. Mm. But I'm surprised you haven't mentioned my unprofessional hard nipples. Haven't even given a mention.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, we've worked very hard as a group, as a team here.
Yep.
You being the only female in a primarily male-dominated space, mm-hmm. to not look there.
Yeah, yeah. And I appreciate that. Because
should I be? Should I be looking there?
No, well, this particular
Rami's
worker...
looking there.
This particular worker was approached by her boss.
Yeah.
Because her nipples were distracting in the cold office.
Is that right?
She's an engineer. She had plenty of important things to be doing.
Oh, God.
But the aircon in the office was too cold.
Mm.
And they had some reports where it was turn it up, turn it down, turn it up, turn it down, bit of that action. So every day that they came to work, they didn't quite know what season they were dressing for. And just when she thought the temperature was right, she's turned up in a thin white blouse and a pair of pants. And that day the aircon was really, really cold. And the manager has told her she has to go home or she can go and work in a different office. Go and work in the janitor's closet because it's distracting and unprofessional that you're walking around with nipples.
How do you have that conversation with someone?
What he did was did it in front of all the other staff.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
So waited until there were a bunch of people around and then mentioned to her that she had distracting nipples.
This actually happened.
It's
nuts. Yesterday, for example, I was getting around in just a white T-shirt.
Yes.
And it's often cold in here in this studio.
Yep.
And my nipples were standing quite... to attention.
And I don't think it affected your job capacity.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I think you did well.
I got in the way of me pushing the buttons occasionally, but...
Her boss did say to her, well, when she said, look, this is an office temperature issue.
Mm.
I can't do anything about it. He said, well, stop being so sensitive to temperature.
Oh, my God.
Well, I want to thank you guys. Thank you for your ongoing support around here as well. Like, you know, I think it's really awesome that you... I believe you haven't made any complaints, any... you know, formal complaints about my hard nipples.
No, well, not directly to your face anyway.
I just going to Speedy behind my back.
Do that. Hey, and by the way, Speedy, here are the photos just to prove it.
What's unprofessional about it? Nothing.
Have you ever navigated any of that sort of crap in the workplace? Like ever? had to deal with that sort of stuff?
Do you think I'm going to deal with that kind of stuff?
No, I suppose you wouldn't be the sort of person to deal with that sort of stuff, would you?
I'd be running the organisation by the end of the week.
Pete and Kimber. I'm still a little bit knocked off my perch about a phone call we received yesterday.
Right.
From a lady by the name of Martina, who told us how long she'd had a Friends with Benefits for. Well, actually, have a listen to this.
I did mine behind a nightclub.
Behind the nightclub?
Ah.
Yes, in an alleyway.
Okay.
Oh, the alley. What a special place that is. You've got metres away spewing in the car park. And
did you see him again, Martina?
Yes, I did. It was a 10-year booty call.
Ten years?
10 years?
10-year booty call, on and off, yes.
Hmm. On and off.
Wow.
Yeah. However you like to do it. 10 years.
Yeah.
That's a relationship.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. That's not friends with benefit. That's a relationship.
That's friends with benefit.
No, it's
They're very different to a relationship.
I disagree. I completely disagree. That's if you've got someone on the go for 10 years.
Yeah.
What are you doing in amongst all that time? How are you dating other people? Like,
easily.
You're always coming back.
Isn't that what everyone's doing now? Isn't everyone dating everyone?
I don't know. And I haven't dated for 15 years now.
Yeah. I think if you find a really good friend with benefits, you hold on to them as long as you can. Because there's plenty of reasons why people don't want to be in a relationship, but you still have needs that need to be met. And if you find a friend who is respectful and fun and doesn't cause drama in your life and you're both cool, it's the best arrangement you can have.
I think it's ridiculous.
You don't have to
take
them out for dinner. You don't have to buy them breakfast. You don't have to go to their family events, but you get all of the other things that you enjoy.
No, see, I think eventually at some point the conversation has to happen.
No, it doesn't.
Yes,
there's
I do.
Many people that you could hang out with and be intimate with and have no interest in a relationship with.
For 10 years?
Yeah.
I can understand that for 6 months. 18 months, a couple of years at the most. Right, but I reckon it gets to a point where somebody ends up having feelings or something.
Pete, you know all the times that you've been friend-zoned?
Yes.
And you know how hard it is to get out of the friend zone because once someone sees you in a particular way, that's just how they see you?
Yeah, I live my life in the friend zone.
It's the same with friends with benefits.
Right, the friends with benefits zone.
Because they're just always seen as friends that offer something more, not really turning into anything relationship-y. I think it's a lovely thing. If you find two consenting adults who really enjoy each other's company, but only on that level, and they're taking care of each other, excellent.
Yeah.
Absolutely excellent. The world needs more of it.
I'm more than happy to hear those stories. Those stories of like 10, 15 years. Like how long did your friend zoning, friends with benefits go on for? Sure.
Yeah.
But I reckon there'd be a lot more people out there who'd be having a go at that and going, no. Like every single time it's happened, eventually it's ended up with, is this a relationship?
Yeah, you're right.
Is this like, us? Is this, what are we doing?
There's one person who is usually going, hey, could this be more? And sometimes that ends it because you're like, well, no, because if you think there's more, you have to walk away.
Yeah.
That does happen.
But you don't find that out sometimes until you find another person that you're interested in. And then all of a sudden, it's a little bit rom-commy. It's like, I should have told you. I should have told you 5 years ago that I was really into you. And now I've lost you.
And now I've got to do it at the airport or at the wedding scene.
Rebecca in Parmelia, good morning. How long was your friends with benefits?
10 years and still going strong.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's your situation? How did you two get together?
We were in a relationship for 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and then I moved to another town, and he's like, yeah, I'll move. So we kept quite close, and he didn't move. So I kept asking him for the next, 5 years as we're still being good mates, keep moving, come move, and he didn't. And then I gave up, but we stayed friends with benefits for the years after that. We have a kid together. And we're still going strong. I don't think anything's going to change.
Just sounds like you guys are in a non-committal relationship, though. I mean,
because
you don't.
You
yeah,
through,
but this is not just friends with benefits. I don't ask my friend with benefits. They're a convenience, right? And it's not a convenient to move towns for a person.
That's true.
Unless you are in a relationship. I didn't have a kid with a friend with benefits.
He must be. He must be right up there when it comes to the benefits. Like, must be very, very good.
Yeah.
If you're driving to another town.
Thanks, Beck. Jay in Lynwood, how long did your friends with benefits last?
4.5 years.
Yes, he's solid. Now, Jay, would you have dated this person?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Oh, you would have?
I told you.
Yeah, it sort of feelings do develop after a certain period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But and we ended up doing everything together, like having a mini relationship, but it was open.
What's a mini relationship? What does that mean?
Well, you're not so... It's like a friends with benefits. You're open, you can do anything you want and everything like that, but you still do certain things together. Like you go out, you can have dinner together, you can go out to the pub and the clubs together and stuff like that, but without all the being completely tied together.
So this is what you were saying to me before, mm-hmm. that all of a friends with benefits does, right? Except Jay's not calling it a friends with benefits. He's calling it a mini relationship.
Both of these people sound like they're just desperately trying to be with the other person and the other person's holding back.
This is my point, though. That's my point.
That's not how friends with benefits is meant to work. This is just waiting. This sounds like they're just waiting to trick the other one into falling in love with them.
It's sometimes. Somebody breaks. Marissa in Naranda, do you have a friend with benefits?
15 years, I've been giving this guy, Tony, a massage for every fortnight, and his wife knows that I wouldn't cheat on him, and we still got a strong friendship, and we all respect one another, and we treat like each other like human beings.
Hang on.
But he gets a massage.
Yes.
Is it a professional massage?
Yeah, I've been doing massage for 13 years.
Yeah. Does he always leave with a smile on his face?
He knows that he's not going to get any hours. And,
Thanks, Marissa. Eddie and Thornley, how long did your friends with benefits last?
18 months, guys, since I met my lovely wife I'm with now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. So not the same person?
No, not the same person. But it was fun for the 18 months, but as for Pete saying you can't do it, you can do it.
Of course you can.
Wait a minute, Eddie. Hang on. You found someone else.
Yes.
Right? Was she not happy when you found someone else? Was anything revealed?
She was very happy, mate, because she came out of a marriage. She'd been married like for 15 years, uh-huh. and the marriage ended quite abruptly, and she got really hurt. So she didn't want to be totally involved with a male. So we're all very happy with what we're doing.
Yep.
And then once I met my wife I'm with now, it stopped, and my wife didn't mind that she was still my friend. We're still good friends. I don't hear from as much as we used to, but we're on Facebook, it's hi, how are you, how's it going, how's Karina, everything
because
like that.
There's nothing sordid about two grown adults doing beautiful things together. I feel
exactly.
like when it's appropriate, it's appropriate. When that changes, you don't, and then it's fine.
Yeah.
That's right. As you said, Kimber, we all have needs.
Of course. I think it would actually, if more people found a good friend with benefits, it would stop them getting into crappy relationships.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly, it would. Right. Exactly, it would.
Because it teaches Eddie. You a bit of self-worth, yep. gives you a bit of, you know, and stops you going to have a snack somewhere.
No, I hope we're on this show for another 20 years, right? And Eddie's still around with us as well, just so I can hear him call in 20 years' time and say, oh, she came back and she said she's into me.
Oh, honestly, if there's anything I don't hear enough of, it's about how many men are just desperate to get married and into committed relationships and don't have the chance, Pete.
Year Kidding Me is a game we play on this show occasionally where producer Kerrod will come in here and he'll have three different montages. There'll be a heap of audio in it and you and I face off against each other every week to go, this is the year that they're from.
Yeah.
Yesterday he played one of the audio montages and it was from 1986 and it featured this audio. Madonna.
Bueller. Bueller. Bueller.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
He's sick.
Cleveland has now broken the Guinness Book of World Records and released over 1,500,000 balloons.
And that one at the end there. Cleveland, Ohio, releasing over 1,500,000 balloons to break a Guinness World Record.
And you and I didn't know anything about it. We basically guessed our year based on Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah.
And Madonna, and just went, whatever that other thing was, must have missed it.
And it turned out that other thing was a disaster, an absolute tragedy.
It was Balloon Fest 86, and it was a nightmare.
So we've got some audio here after we went digging, and then we'll come back and explain what happened. But this does a good job of it. Take a listen to this. Balloon Fest 1986, trying to break a world record. and the disaster that followed.
Balloonfest 86 was a fundraising stunt taking place in Cleveland, Ohio. The goal of the event was to raise funds for the United Way charity. They wanted to break the world record for the biggest simultaneous balloon launch to garner attention. So, they created a large net structure the size of a city block to contain the balloons. At first, it was a beautiful sight to see, but a cold front combined with rain caused the balloons to descend while still inflated. This sight distracted motorists, causing numerous car accidents in the surrounding Cleveland area. Streets and waterways were clogged with the decorations, and worst of all, the balloons impacted the search for two missing fishermen on Lake Erie. The balloons made it impossible to look for their orange life jackets, and on September 29th, the men's bodies washed ashore.
I mean, whoa.
It was like, awful. I mean, the video was really impressive. It was like, oh, look at all those beautiful balloons. And this was the 80s. We didn't start talking about the environment until the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
The environment was a 90s
and
thing.
And even then, it was a bit of a whisper compared to today.
Mate, in the 80s, we were doing all sorts of things. We had no idea we're going to have repercussions.
Cigarettes are good for you, by the way.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
But I mean, but no one thought that releasing 1.5 million balloons into the air would cause any kind of problem.
Yeah. Like, there was even, like, we didn't hear it in that audio, but there's another one that I saw where they had to shut down the airport for a while as well because the balloons were interrupting flight paths and traffic.
Literally the second that they let them go, it started raining and heavy winds came in, which meant instead of the balloons floating up into the abyss and sending them off into space where no one cared.
Yeah.
They just pushed them down into the views of everyone who was trying to drive, fly a plane, etc.
It was just chaos.
Absolute chaos. They said within weeks, like, balloons were littering Ontario beaches. Now, Ontario's like, I mean, we're talking 1,100 kilometres away.
From the actual place that
from
it started.
From the place. It's a long kilometers. Way that balloons are still existing and rolling up
out.
On the beach.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was, so you know, we learn these things as we go.
But you know what? It was really cool for about 7 seconds.
That 7 seconds, outstanding.
Yeah. Balloon Fest 86, if you've got a bit of time up your sleeve today, jump online and Google Balloon Fest 86 and go and have a look at the videos and the footage and read into the story about what happened afterwards, because it's incredible.
Even calling it Balloon Fest, gee, it sounds like it was fun.
Pete and Kimber's yay or nay.
Hello, producer Rami.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good. Gano. Three topics.
Good.
2 seconds. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Let's get to it. First one. Spice Girls are overrated.
3, 2, 1.
Nay.
Nay.
In fact.
Legends.
Stop right now.
Thank you very much. Ew, I hate myself saying that.
How can they be overrated?
They were a thing back in the 90s, but I feel like they should just get other jobs now. They're done.
What are you talking about, mate?
Other jobs?
Are you broken?
Like Scary Spice is working on reception now at the local
Scary
fitness club.
Scary Spice is getting other jobs, to be fair. Stop right now. Thank you very much. And that was yay and nay.
Why do they need other jobs? No, I...
Such a good song.
The Spice Girls were absolutely massive and continue to be relevant. And also...
Well,
there are artists that have released one song and lived their entire careers off it.
Oh, can we turn that off now?
No, I love the Spice Girls. I was a Spice Boy. I had the albums. Oh, God, this is one of my all-time favourites. I'll be waiting.
Got any other questions, Rami?
Okay, clearly overpowered. Well, you guys might like to know that Sporty Spice has touched down in Adelaide this morning.
Oh, good.
Because she's doing a national DJ gig. So I guess she took the advice and got another job.
Well, she was doing a gig here in Perth, right?
Yeah.
Did that go ahead?
She's going to be going to the Court Hotel May 12th. So I guess
giving
you guys will be there.
Everything.
Oh, God.
All the joy can bring. This, I swear.
You brought this on yourself.
All right. Next topic.
Shush.
All I want from you next, is a promise too.
Next topic, closely associated with the Spice Girls, long drops.
3, 2, 1.
I mean,
yay.
Nay.
A yay. There's got to be a yay there.
I mean, if there were no other options, long drops, I'm sure, served their purpose at their time. But it's much like, you know, when Panadol bought out Panadol Rapid, we should have thrown the old ones away.
That's so true. How are we not talking about this more? That's so true.
Like, you know, long drops had a place and then we connected sewerage systems and now they can they're gone.
What a random link. I love the way your brain works.
progression. Right?
But right. The reason I'm bringing this up, by the way, is because we're planning a camper trip with my friends. And the conversation came up that it needs to be a powered site with an actual toilet. Otherwise, a particular friend is not going to come along because she cannot stand a drop toilet.
Well, stay home then. Honestly, that's not the sort of person you want on a camping trip.
I mean, you don't need a drop toilet. You can just take one of those little fold-out seats with a bag.
With a
so
bag?
What?
Those little, like, they're just little camping stools with the toilet seat, and you just attach a bag, and so you just seem like you're sitting on a normal toilet seat, and it collects it in a bag.
But no one knows. You're not seen just by the camping fire.
And then you get a biodegradable bag, and you bury it.
It's really awkward because some people use it while they're sitting around the camping fire with everybody else.
That might be a better option, because I have this very unjustified fear that when I use a long drop, and this happened last year, is going to get bitten by a mosquito.
Oh, please. How long is it? I mean, come on.
A mosquito is your concern.
You're giving yourself a lot of credit.
Yeah. You're worried you're going to get a bite and it's going to swell up.
Yeah. But yeah, because it's
very and get itchy.
Didn't we speak to an adult entertainer about something like
this
that?
This segment is so weird.
Excuse me.
It's called Yay or Nay, and it's your favourite part of the day.
It is. I actually really love it. We've gone from Spice Girls to Long Drop. Wait.
Should have stayed at Spice Girls.
Is there anything else?
No, yeah, that's all.
Is that it? You sure?
I feel like I've covered off everything today. Spice Girls and my big...
Oh!
No. I'm glad I've got a day off tomorrow.
Thanks, Rami. We love you.
Thank you, guys.
I love you, Sporty Spice. Come to Perth. Marry me.
The Foundation Series from Endeavour Homes is the affordable alternative with premium inclusions. Endeavour Homes, builders of quality.